V is for vishing, yet another option for your PSA RMM bundle, and sharing is caring when it comes to MFA. These stories and more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch. Good morning and welcome to the July 15th, 2022 episode of MSP Dispatch. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How are you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. Excellent. How the heck are you doing today?
I'm in desperate need of a haircut. And I'll be honest, I completely forgot we were recording today, and that's why I didn't get a haircut.
It's going COVID style. It's reminiscent of the COVID days. With that, let's get into the news.
Let's do it.
Lions, tigers, and vishing. Oh my. QuickBooks vishing scams target small businesses. As indicated in darkreading.com, cybercriminals are posing as Intuit, targeting Google Workspace and Microsoft Office 365 small business users in a voice phishing scam. The campaign sends a false invoice via email containing a claim that a credit card has already been charged for an order. In order to dispute the charge, the victims are redirected to a call on a number included in the email. The scam was first uncovered in December 2021, and the frequency of the attack has accelerated sharply. The report noted, these attacks were highly effective at evading detection because they were identical to the non-fraudulent QuickBooks notifications, even when examining the email's raw HTML files closely. All notifications originated from authentic Intuit IP addresses, passed email authentication, SPF, and DKIM tests for Intuit.com, and only contained high-reputation Intuit.com URLs. Phishing, smishing, which is the SMS version of phishing, and now vishing, voice phishing, with such cute names. Ray, is there really any reason to be worried?
I mean, tomato, tomato, potato, right? Like, this is, I don't know. There's Steve Gibson's notorious for saying, if you didn't look for it, don't do it. Right. Like, you know, and I was following this 5-6 years ago. I'd get a call from the IRS back before, you know, my warranty needed to be extended on my car, even cars I've sold 10 years ago. And I would say, give me a number and an extension I can call you back at that I can verify online. Very simple. I would not accept calls from my credit cards. You know, I would call back because what's the first thing they do? Can you verify your name, your date of birth? And all this stuff, mother's maiden name, blood type, what was the name of your first pet, what's your stripper name, all that fun stuff. And I would not allow it. I'm not doing it. I'd rather just create a little bit more difficulty in getting to whatever the point of the call was, rather than risk giving out my information. Unfortunately, the vast majority of human beings on the planet don't do that, right? You can have security or you can have convenience. You can't have both. And unfortunately, this is the kind of thing that, cute name or not, I see being a problem. I can tell you firsthand, my mother, brilliant woman, entrepreneur, her and my father started a real estate company in 1975, still going strong. Amazingly brilliant people. These are not people that fall for any scam. And more than once, she's called me and said, oh yeah, the newspaper company called me because my subscription expired and I had to give them a new credit card over the phone. I'm like, I'm going to go online and order a new card now. You know, that kind of thing. So I think it's going to, I unfortunately appreciate the cute names because it makes you feel a little better, right? But I do think it's another world of pain. What about you, Tony? Are you smitten with smishing?
Smishing, that is just, I think the biggest problem here is that you have formulated your argument coherently, which, how dare you, who do you think you are, actually requiring a phone number that you can call back for, an auditable paper trail to go back. This is common sense to the educated, to the initiated, but there are a lot of people that are not very exposed to this, and there's always a first time. Just with any virus, initial infection of a computer. There is no signature. There is no noted heuristics or anomaly detection that can pick something up that has never been seen before. And the first time it happens, congratulations. Once bitten, twice shy. Some of us have been bitten several times, and the ability to formulate the argument as you have just done is fascinating. And this is something that really comes down to communication, communication, and communication until the hard education that takes place to the end users. Please clear the noise for your audience people. Tell them, ask for an additional phone number you can call back on. Validate it from a secondary perspective, if not possible, directly from the website, perhaps. There has to be an auditable paper trail, and this is just terrifying. But I will say that the names are getting really funny, and they're so cute.
Maybe I'm in a good mood, because you know I'm usually the curmudgeon, right? Maybe I'm in a good mood because I've had two kittens that my daughter is cat sitting for the next couple weeks, so they've been in the office all day. My dog is not very excited about it, but they're adorable. They don't let you do any work because cats are completely anti-work, but you know, I'm covered in kittens, so I'm smitten by the kittens, I guess. Speaking of new things and new words, Tony, we have a new offering in the MSP space.
In the MSP world, something new is coming out. Enable is launching their solutions bundle for growing MSPs, as indicated in channelpronetwork.com. It's called Ensight RMM. The new offering combines Enable RMM, the vendor's cloud-based RMM solution, with its Take Control remote access solution and MSP Manager PSA application. Enable describes it as an alternative to an integrated solutions for growing MSPs for Atera, Synchro, and NinjaOne. To make rolling out the traditional automation simpler, Ensight comes with a library of more than 600 no-code scripts that users can deploy or customize as drag-and-drop tools. The Fast Assist feature that lets technicians launch remote access sessions on devices that are not yet under management from Ensight Enable RMM. It's also included as well. The subscription is now priced month to month and a pay-as-you-go basis, packaged combining 100 RMM nodes, 3 MSP manager seats, and 1 take control licenses sell at about $99 and up. Ray, I have so many questions about this because it sounds like the tools that are being used for the RMMs, the PSAs, the MSPs, the things that they are, because they're on the front line. These tools are getting better and better every day, but you're also hearing from the other side that no one needs an RMM anymore. No one needs a PSA. Hey, I'm not saying any names here. This is supposed to be neutral. No, I'm just kidding. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to figure out these new tools that are coming out. What I believe they're trying to do is allow more of a self-actuation to take place from both the new technician as well as almost some self-administration or better communication to the end customer. These new tools, though, are prolific, and it's the big guys are now expanding with all the mergers. They're expanding their ecosystem drastically. What are your thoughts on that?
So I'm a little torn here, right? Because we've been hearing single pane of glass, single pane of glass, single pane of glass. And all the big PSA vendors, the majors, have an RMM. Most of them have multiple RMMs. Enable has multiple PSAs and multiple RMMs. And the thing that Ninja has done that wasn't on the list, Acronis or Acronis is also in this camp, and also Pulseway, they have a combined PSA RMM. Synchro MSP, I think, sort of fits in this, depending on which of their products you use. And that's which sounds great, which sounds fine and good. I wouldn't be against that. My problem with this is Enable is putting this in the camp of this is for those MSPs just starting out or want to try something first before they can commit to a big boy or big girl RMM PSA. Why can't the big boy, big girl RMM PSA or big they, whatever you want to call it, why can't the powerhouse solution also be an all-in-one? Why can't that be? Ninja's going that way. Acronis is going that way. Pulseway, good, bad, or otherwise, it's never been considered in the top three, top four, but they're absolutely that's their direction. They're not saying they're for starter MSPs. They're saying they're for all MSPs. That's my only real problem with this kind of branding. It's for the starter group. As if, you know, starter MSPs needed any less capability than a full-fledged MSP. I don't see, and the other thing is, when you have all these, and we talked about this with the Kaseya Datto, we've talked about this ad nauseum, when you have multiple competing platforms, ConnectWise is no different, they have multiple competing RMMs, how much development time do you really have, right? Like, how much can you build and improve? And there's going to be a point where your starter plan or your starter PSA RMM, you're going to be adding features to that the other platforms already have. So what's the benefit of that? I don't see the win there. Do you?
I mentioned the self-actuating portion of it, and that's for the starter, the starter MSPs. But some of those starter MSPs, the one-man, two-man, five-man shop, I mean, they, let's be honest, some of them are taking their policy, rendering process from a Ouija board in some way, shape, or form.
Taking the old priest and a new priest, right?
Don't give away the secret. The value of the solution should be greater than the value of the parts collected. And hopefully you're going to have mechanisms there that are going to automate a lot of the things. So if you can create something that's out of the box ready for the new guys, then you have a winning combination. But the reality is you need a destination. And if you're already in control of the larger MSPs out there and you can create a smaller entry package and nurture them, give them a path to that larger MSP status and already have it be the incumbent in their shop, that is an amazing place to be. And I think that's what they're shooting for. It is nice to see these tools evolving and they're getting better. But the reality is, Ray, that the attacks are also accelerating. In fact, in the next story, I heard that 5,000 users were compromised with MFA being bypassed. Is that right?
That would have been awesome, except it was 10,000. In a report by
10,000.
In a report by Dan Gooden on Ars Technica, Microsoft detailed on Tuesday, July 12th, there are reports of an ongoing phishing campaign targeting at least 10,000 organizations since September. While alone, this would not be newsworthy, this particular attack is specifically going after users with MFA enabled. The attack works by having the user click on a link that takes them to a malicious site showing the login fields. Up to this point, business as usual for malicious sites, right? However, once the user enters their credentials, the malicious site forwards the information in real time to the valid site. The valid site responds with an MFA request, which the malicious site then presents to the unsuspecting user. At that point, the user enters their MFA code as usual, and the malicious site sends that back to the valid site to gain access. To talk about this, we have brought an industry expert in phishing and security, Connor Swalm, CEO of Finn Security. How you doing, Connor?
I'm doing great, Ray. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So my first question is this, and we'll get past the 10,000 organizations since September, but this proxy action, is this a new thing? Is this brand new or what's going on here?
No, it's not brand new. There's also a different form of this called like browser in the browser, but this is like man in the middle attacks are not brand new, especially when it comes to phishing people out of their login information, their passwords, and their banking information as well. So not brand new for sure.
So what makes this newsworthy then? And do you think it's the scope of the attacks, the length of the attacks?
I think it's the scope. You know, Tony's initial reaction was holy, like 10, like no way.
1.21 gigawatts.
It feels like 10,000 users.
Yeah, it's like 10,000 anythings is a lot. Like 10,000 organizations have been targeted, and I'd love to know how many they discovered were actually successfully like gotten credentials stolen and whatever happened with that. But I think one of the reasons why this is newsworthy is we hear all the time and we preach a lot of the time too, you know, enable MFA everywhere and you're pretty much good. Now I say pretty much now because this article would demonstrate, okay, we're not completely good. And that's actually why I was actually just talking with a buddy of both of ours, right, Tim Golden, about this, about different standards in MFA, because text-based MFA, like you mentioned, smishing, it's very easy to steal the code because of the way like the user has to interact with a text message when it gets sent to them. So I think one of the reasons this is newsworthy is like, well, they had security controls in place. They tried to prevent this in some way, shape, or form, and it ended up not working.
I mean, so are they evolving? Are you, I mean, you work with these kind of phishing attacks every single day. I'm having my production assistant bring over the white cat for the 1 million. I really wasn't kidding about the kittens. This is Leche, by the way.
I know.
So Leche. It's Spanish for milk.
Milk.
So are these attacks evolving? Or you know, because you said this isn't new, this man-in-the-middle attack. Man-in-the-middle is pretty common. Are you seeing phishing attacks evolve in any way, shape, or form? Are you seeing them getting a little smarter?
Yes. So this article specifically draws on one of the things that we're starting to see, which is more targeted attacks. It's like, okay, they targeted the accounts that did have MFA enabled. I guess the first question we should ask ourselves is, why did that happen? It's like, well, when users enter in their MFA code, they're taught and they feel way more secure. So like, okay, this can't pop. It's like that part of your brain shuts off that's a little bit skeptical, and it just takes a back seat while you're just, you know, typing in your credentials, getting that MFA code, going to town, all the while not realizing it's like, okay, the web domain's a tiny bit off. It's like that would have been one of the only indicators that you're on a random place on the internet. And we talked about this a tiny bit before, but it's even harder when this becomes what's called a browser in the browser attack. So if you've ever used Google OAuth or any type of external authentication, it typically brings up a separate browser right there in your browser. And the web address is even a little more obfuscated, which makes it harder for a normal person to detect. It's like, oh, I'm entering this credentials into a copied web form that they just stole right off of Microsoft's website, because this isn't Microsoft.live or whatever Microsoft's real web address is, which would have been the only indicator they were on a weird place on the internet.
And this is one of those things, Connor, that they, I'm sorry, Tony, real quick. This is one of those things, you know, when you set up Azure AD, for example, one of the things they tell you to do is brand the Azure AD, because it will brand the MFA prompts and the sign-in prompts all together. So you can identify, this is coming from my Azure AD domain. Most MSPs I talk to, thankfully, do this. I think many do it just because it's branding, but also, you know, it does have that security angle from it. You know, I just wanted to point that out. I know not every, I've never seen Google offer that, but I wanted to bring that up. Tony, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I know we're running out of time, and to keep it short, you mentioned something about a clear text, a Twilio coming in, etc. Is the solution to keep it in a closed ecosystem to where there's a specific app that does the authentication, or do you bind it towards a Google or Microsoft Authenticator, Secret Double Octopus, whatever the is it better to be in a closed proprietary ecosystem, or is it better to third party it to something other than a clear text?
Personally, I don't think it would matter one way or the other, because at the end of the day, what you have is a user who has to recognize what's going on, whether or not, I mean, as Ray mentioned, it's like, okay, they might have the MSP's branding there, or some maybe their own client information there. It's like, okay, they could recognize that, but also keep this in mind. The next targeted attack that we'll see then is a large client who did that getting targeted, where the MFA prompt now has that client's logo, like right there on the MFA screen. So I think this comes down to, you know, unfortunately, this was the most secure process that we typically have for end users, enable MFA, properly use it on a regular basis. It comes down to education, not necessarily the tools failed here. So the education needed to step in.
So I'm gonna say this with the most respect that I can. Connor, FinSecurity, amazing, amazing knowledge base. But I'm also going to, I believe, quote you earlier in the back, in the green room when we're all talking, MSP dispatch. Can you go back to that tagline? The MSP dispatch, all the news you need to know.
And some of the news you wish you didn't.
Exactly.
You wish you didn't know.
I am looking forward to everyone's feedback. I think Ray's on mute. I want everyone's feedback on this. Tell me what you think. Have you experienced this, something like this before? Do you have a better solution? The feedback that we receive is amazing. You can follow us at MSP Media TV. We've got an email address. We've got YouTube stations. Ray, what are the best places that you can think of to follow us and give us some comments?
Hit us up on Reddit. We have our own sub. It's MSP Media. I believe it's the sub. It's in the link. Hit us up on RMSP. Hit us up on Slack, on Discord, Twitter. Also, follow the podcast. We have an aggregated video and audio versions under MMN. And then we have individual shows, our 38 at 38. We have MSP Dispatch. We have Tech Bar. We're going to have MSP Geek events soon. So hit up the podcast and follow us along, and we will absolutely include Connor's information in the notes below. Thanks for coming on again, Connor. We appreciate your insight. You're awesome, dude.
Thank you, Connor. MSP Dispatch, the news you need to know and some of the news you wish you didn't know.
Absolutely. So we have some notable mentions. Why don't we get into that? Get into some happy place stuff. Our first thing that I'm happy to talk about is I want to remind people that Huntress, of their neighborhood watch program, Huntress has pledged $5 million toward protecting MSPs. As their tagline, they're trying to bring security to the 99%. They're providing free internal use licenses of their claim software, and we are going to include the link below. Go ahead and sign up. You do not have to be selling their software to take advantage of it. So absolutely use it, please. And just a little bit of history catching up. On July 13th, Keeper Security, their Chrome extension was affected by a bug that prevented users from accessing their data. Keeper Security is a password management application known for their MSP program. Version 16.4.4 was the offending version. During the outage, Keeper provided instructions to install an alternate branch of the extension. The original branch was fixed just after midnight on July 14th, and the new version is 16.4.4.1. A full postmortem is on their status page, and we will, of course, include those links below. Tony, what do you got for us?
Another notable mention, ncrn.com. Twitter was knocked down Thursday morning in a major outage with users around the globe unable to access the social media platform. Downdetector.com reported tens of thousands of issues with Twitter starting around 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The outage appeared to impact the Twitter's web, mobile, and TweetDeck platforms. As of 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the site was functioning normally. And we got some great feedback from our ever-loved Jay McBain asking, hey, is this going to be weekly, daily? This is very cool. And the answer to you, Jay, is yes. We are running this twice a week. MSP Dispatch is going to be every Tuesday morning and wrapping up that heavy week every Friday morning as well.
In the words of Christopher Turk of Scrubs, daily, nightly, and ever so rightly. But while MSP Dispatch is not daily, we do have a ton of events in the community, though.
So many events. On the 19th, we have the MSP Dispatch presented by this amazing group right here. That's at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also on the 19th at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Networking Mindset presented by the Channel Program. On the 19th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Evolution of the Huntress Managed Security Platform and What's Next. Also on the 19th at 2 p.m., we have a complete day pack for you on the 19th. Everything MSP OIT VoIP webinar, 10 VoIP myths for MSPs. You got to watch that. On the 20th, the 21st, we have the SMB Tech Fest Q3. On the 21st at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have Smoking Hot Tech Channel pitch presented by the Channel Program. And on the 21st at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Partner First, SMB SIEM that doesn't suck, featuring Blue Mira.
That's a packed couple days, man.
That is a like a full time. That's all you're learning is about our industry all day, every day, which is kind of cool.
Pretty cool. So I think I'm definitely going to need this weekend to decompress before I dive into that awesome week. So thank you, Tony. Thank you so much for your insights, for your, let's be honest, your puns are fantastic. You know, they're not just smart. They're very punny.
Listen, we need to ask the audience for more feedback. We love this stuff. The MSB Dispatch is where you get all the news that you need to know and some of the news you wish you didn't know.
What puns did we miss? What stories did we miss? Hit us up in the comments below. We want to hear from you. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, take care of yourselves and each other.
Take care, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
V is for vishing, yet another option for your PSA RMM bundle. And sharing is caring when it comes to MFA. These stories and more on today's episode. Oh, wow. One more game.
Lions, Tigers, and Vishing. Oh, my. QuickBooks Vishing Scam, that is V, not phishing, Vishing Scam targets small businesses. As indicated in darkreading.com, cyber criminals are posing as Intuit. Target audience... I really just... the whole thing, my whole... I'm so sorry.
No worries.
You know, you laugh at my pain. Hold on. My own notes. I'm looking
pain.
At that.
I know the pain. That's why.
Okay, here we go.
Tony, what do you got for us? Damn it, Tony. What do you have for us?
I got so much love.